If you were here last week and I got to listen to this message, Susie was sharing about how that John 1 is like the outline of everything that you're going to hear in John. John was sowing some seeds in that chapter that bore a lot of fruit later in the other chapters. And one of those things was new birth, being born again. And this is in John 1, 12 through 13. Yet to all who received him, Christ, or the Word made flesh, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Born of God. And soon, in the rest of the chapters, we learn how that this new birth, it brings us entry into the kingdom of God. It gives us access to the water of life. It gives us guidance by the Good Shepherd. And then in this chapter, it gives us a relationally knowing of God and Christ, which Jesus defines in this prayer as eternal life. And we think about being born of God, we get God's life. That's what eternal life is. It's God's life. And that's why knowing God, we get that life. So his prayer, this prayer in John 17, also describes us as a group. The church was born of God. The church was born to reflect God's triune nature to the world. God's triune nature. As a people born of God, we're to broadcast God's nature to the world. And if we obediently live out our corporate life as the church in Christ, the lost will see the kind of life that they've been missing. And some won't respond, but others will, because they want to have that kind of life in them, and they can. So what is it that they must see? What is it that they have to see in us so that they will want that kind of life? And they need to see, first of all, the testimony of divine unity. We read that in verse 20 and 21. It's right there in your worship folders. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us today and everybody else who believes in Christ. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is an amazing prayer. Jesus is praying for the character of Christian unity to be Trinitarian in nature. I don't know if you've ever realized that. He wants us to have the unity that the Trinity has. Now that is really amazing. But even more amazing, this unity that we're supposed to have, it comes by our being immersed into the unity of the Godhead. Oh my goodness. That's what it says here. And it just, that blows my mind. And I started studying this passage. That's why I came up with this. The church was born to reflect God's triune nature to the world. Well, unity is not uniformity. We are many different kind of individuals, but we are brought into this kind of unity. God is three persons who are three individual persons, but their unity is so infinite that they cannot be addressed except in the singular, thou, he, just one God. And we're also uniquely individuals, unique, different persons. But by immersion into this Trinitarian unity, we become one church, one body, one bride. So we have just said this in our creed. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church because Christ's bride is one body, one universal body. That's what the word Catholic means, universal. And I know we say Roman Catholic, but that's the Roman Church. And it's part of the Catholic Church, but the whole Church is Catholic. It's universal. It's one body. We've read this elsewhere in Scripture about wood, hay, and stubble being burned up at some day in heaven at Christ's judgment seat. Well, I say that the wood and the hay and the stubble of divisions among Christians will be burned up at heaven's gates. It will not be allowed to go in there. Any of the work that has made this division in the church, it's going to just be burned up. It's not going to enter heaven. And why? It's because those divisions are a hellish deception. They are lies that keep us from pulling ourselves together into Trinitarian unity and claiming as the church our born again birthright. It's our spiritual birthright to have that unity. God has shown us in His prayer what we really are. So the church was born to reflect God's triune nature to the world. And people must see this testimony of divine unity and also this as well. The testimony of divine glory in verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Humans who are made in the image of God no longer display, naturally, they no longer display His glory because Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so people, deep in their hearts, they feel this shortfall. They feel empty inside for this absence of the glory that they were meant to reflect. Success in winning earthly recognition, gaining worldly glory, it leaves them coming up short. They still know that they're missing something. They're missing something that is part of what they were meant to be. So Jesus gave us His glory corporately as a body. He gave us His glory to manifest that glory. To manifest Trinitarian glory. And this is what's so amazing. All of this comes from the Trinity. It comes from the nature of the Trinity. And it's been given to us. And we have it. It's right out of the Godhead. It's amazing. So it says that they may be one as we are one. That's Trinitarian. God's glory in the Trinity is a shared glory. It's shared. They don't say, I'm better than you. No. It's all, that glory is all shared. So it's a shared glory. And therefore, for us, it must be a received glory. And we sing a song, maybe it's not familiar to everybody, but heaven came down and glory filled my soul. How many know that song? Okay, we'll sing it sometime. But heaven came down and glory filled our souls. But worldly glory, this idea of self-glory, it misses the mark. It falls short of the glory of God. So, back to 1 John. Introducing the Word made flesh, the Incarnation, Jesus. Introducing Jesus, here's what it says in John 1:14. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, this inter-shared Trinitarian glory that's inside the Trinity is now entrusted to the church. Isn't that amazing? I get amazed by this passage. It is just so amazing. It's like really holy ground when you get on this prayer. It's now been entrusted to the church. And what is our job as the church, is to reflect that glory corporately as the body of Christ. And we have it right in Ephesians 3:21. To Him be glory in the church. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. In other words, it's not going to stop even down here. It's happening in heaven with the church triumphant while we're still the church militant. In both places, this glory is being manifested through the church to God. So the church is to reflect this triune glory to a world that's dying from the vain, empty self-glory. And this world also needs the testimony of divine love. Testimony of divine love in verse 23. I in them, and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The way that the Father loves the Son, that's the way that we are loved by God. That's amazing. It's Trinitarian love. You might have remembered in 1965 a song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. You remember that?
Yeah.
30 years later, 1995, another song came out. Looking for love in all the wrong places. How many remember that old country western song? Okay. Looking for love in all the wrong... We, as the humanity, miss finding this ultimate love until we meet the God of love who still loves us in spite of our sins. And we see that in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love. His Trinitarian love. He demonstrates that. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The world needs to see that kind of love. People who are lost, they need to see this Trinitarian love embodied in the church, in us, as a group of believers. Now, the church already has it. We don't need to pray for that love. It's already in us. It says in Romans 5:5, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So Trinitarian love is a poured out love. It's poured out to each other in the Trinity, but that kind of love is also poured out in creation and in creating us and making us His children. And so the world needs to see God's love in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? He gave His only begotten Son. The world needs to see God's love in John 3:16 poured out by our love in 1 John 3:16. The first epistle of John 3:16 says this, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for each other, for our brothers. In 1966, a man named Peter Schultz wrote a song, "We Are One in the Spirit." But it often takes the title of the chorus of that song. And this is what the chorus is. "They'll know we are Christians by our love." So God is love. God is love, it says in 1 John. The church was born to reflect God's triune nature of love to the world. Can we do it? Yes, we can do it. We can do it because we have the testimony of divine indwelling. And this is a big revelation to me. I never thought about this, but all of these things, unity, glory, and love, they're all part of God's nature. But here's another part of God's nature we haven't thought about maybe. It's called indwelling. And we say, why is this? Well, look in verse 25 and 26, not the whole thing, but "Righteous Father, I have made you known to them in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them." Indwelling. Christ indwelling. You know, indwelling is a Trinitarian intimacy. It's how the Trinity is intimate. They, like I said, their unity is, they're interwoven, but they're indwelling each other. They remain their separate persons, but they indwell each other. And we see this where Jesus in John 14:11 says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." That's how the Trinity lives. They live, I don't know a word for it, inter-indwelling. They're inter-indwelling each other. And it's that kind of inter-indwelling that we have been given from the Trinity. Jesus has shared this kind of intimacy, this Trinitarian intimacy, with us as a group. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And people must see to believe. People must see to believe that a personal intimacy with God is real. So He put within us His love, but He also put within us His body. He's put within us Himself. Each believer is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But we also are a Trinitarian unity as a body so that people can see us as one temple, in a sense. In 1 Corinthians, another 3:16, it says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?" Not just temples. We are a unified temple. That the God's Spirit lives within you. The Spirit, when He comes, He brings the Father and the Son. Because Jesus told us in John 14, He says, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So the whole Trinity has not just given us, oh, here's Trinitarian love. No, they've come to live inside of us. So do we love him? Do we obey his teaching, love one another as I have loved you, love one another? Do we obey that teaching? Do we realize that the church was born of God, so that we might reflect God's triune nature to a lost world? And do we join Jesus asking for the Trinity's unity and the glory of the Trinity and the love of the Trinity and the indwelling presence of the Trinity to be seen in us as one body, one church, one bride? And if we do see that, then let's join Jesus in that prayer. And let's do it right now. Father God, we want to join you. We believe that you are continuing to want us to have everything that Jesus prayed for in this prayer. So we want to join Jesus in this prayer that he is probably right now before the throne interceding for us with the same prayer. Lord, we want to see unity among ourselves and among the church and the world so that the world might see that Jesus was sent from the Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.